Titus 3.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
This letter is concluded.
Amen, amen. This is Christian Minister talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We'd like to thank you for joining us, being part of the program. And we'd like to welcome you. You received this link via text, via email. And if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we'd like to welcome you also. Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to, tonight, the daytime, depending on when you listen to it, but when we're recording this, it's evening time here in the D.C., Baltimore area. We're going to be talking about the call to discipleship and spiritual growth. This is going to be about, this is part three of the discussion this month we've been having last couple of weeks to encourage the brothers in their spiritual growth and encouraging discipleship, being disciples, making disciples, and the call that Christ has given the church, that he said to go and disciple, to fulfill the Great Commission, disciple all the nations. But it starts with us. It starts with us and the responsibility we have as husbands and fathers to disciple our families. And then reaching out, sharing the gospel, and discipling others in the growth of Christ. Amen. I'm going to open with prayer, and then we'll bring my guest in tonight. We have Pastor Joe Powell going to be joining us and share his wisdom and insights on our topic tonight. Amen. So let us pray. Father God, we say thank you. First of all, God, we say thank you, God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of our souls, God. Father, we thank you, God, for making a way, oh God, that we can be reconciled back to you through faith, oh God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Father, we also now lift up, oh God, families, husbands, wives, children, God. We lift up fathers, O God. We lift up those, O God, who are laboring in the things of God, that are walking this out, who are walking by the Spirit, in the Spirit, God, who are striving to be live obedient to your word. We thank you, God, for the whole gift of the Holy Spirit, God, that keeps us anchored, that gives us wisdom, discernment, and direction, O God, in this, as we just live this life out in the culture, O God. Father, today we just pray for the for those who are in hospitals, God, those who are on sick beds, God. We pray for their families, oh God, who are standing by the bedside and are vigilant, oh God, and praying, God, for their healing. Father, we pray for those in prison who are locked up today, oh God. We pray that they, even in the midst of their circumstances, God, that they would hear the gospel. The word of God would be planted in their hearts, that their souls may be set free. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to watch over us, your church, oh God. Set a hedge of protection around us, O God. Stir up the gifts that are in the body of Christ, that the church, God, can be a salt and light in the midst of this culture, God. There's so much going on, God, but none of this is a surprise to you, God. But Father, we ask today that you would guide and direct the church to be the church, to be soul and light, to make a difference in the lives of people, that they might come to know salvation. Father, we thank you, God, for all the leaders in the church, the pastors, elders, and deacons, all those who serve behind the scenes, God. We ask that you bless and continue to bless and encourage them, even in the midst of the pandemic, Father. And God, we thank you right now. We thank you for what you've done in the earth in the last year, God, in the last year. For those of us who have lost loved ones, God, we thank you for the comforting them, Lord God. And Father, for those who have gotten sick and were healed, oh God, by your hand, we thank you for that. And then we thank you for those who we just endured through this thing, that we will have a testimony on the goodness of God and knowing that you are in control of all things. So, Father, we just say thank you. Continue, oh God, to watch over us, oh God. Guide us and direct us, oh God, that we all might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And at the time of our judgment, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, again, tonight, Jeff, brothers, we're going to be talking about spiritual growth and discipleship. Praise the Lord. Pastor Paul, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can.
Amen, amen. You're coming through loud and clear. Thank you. First of all, let me thank you for taking time out to schedule to join us, and I appreciate you and for the wisdom you're going to share with us tonight to encourage the men out there in the things of God. But tonight we're going to talk about, let's start with spiritual growth. You know, we talk about folk who've been in the church for years, and let me say, I just want to start with, you know, spiritual growth is a process, but we have to be committed to the process to want to grow. And I think that's where I want to encourage the brothers that every man has to look into the mirror and understand, are you seeking God? Are you pursuing the things of God so that you might grow? Or, you know, are you stuck? And I think that's the first thing every man has to look in the mirror and understand for himself. Understand where they are in Christ. And have they been pursuing Christ? So, Pastor, let me start with, I'll ask you this question. How important is spiritual growth in the Christian life?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me on your program once again. I always enjoy talking to you and being on your program. So, first of all, thank you for having me. And spiritual growth and discipleship, it's the cornerstone of the church. A lot of people think it's helping people with food, doing things like that, or outreach. And all of, don't get me wrong, all of those things are important. But the mission that Jesus said, as you said at the opening, is go and make disciples. From Matthew 28, I think it's verses 19 through 20, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. So discipleship is extremely important, and it's so important that when the Apostle Paul talked about it, he said, some of you are baby Christians, and you can't, and I paraphrase, that some of you are baby Christian, and you can only tolerate milk when you should be not only eating meat, but feeding others meat. So everybody should be growing. All of us as not just men, women, children, everybody should be growing. And when it comes to spiritual growth, is I see it as three categories that everybody fall into. Those that need to grow and are not growing, those that need to grow and have stopped growing, and those that need to grow and are still growing. So even if you are growing, you still can grow because you never learn everything about Jesus. So it's and I like how you said it's a continuous process. And Jesus doesn't judge us by based on someone else and their growth. He based it on us. But as long as we're growing, that's what he wants to see, us growing every single day. And it is a process.
Amen, amen. And, you know, and spiritual growth being a process, and and that process, we understand it as us becoming more mature in our relationship with God. I think that's where a lot of people think it's something else, like you said. It's the, like you mentioned, those things that we do, those good works that we do, the cause of our salvation, or as the church organizes itself to reach out. But it, I think people don't realize that it's our maturing in our relationship with Christ, you know. And I think that's where brothers, we just have to just hear that and get hooked and understand that the more you grow in your relationship, the more that you study, the more that you understand the Scripture. And like you said, from babes, from milk to meat, it's understanding the depth of Scripture and getting into it. I used to call it getting to the deep end of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have to think, I don't know why, you know, sometimes it's a struggle. And sometimes it's just getting folk to the simple things. I'm going to be, you know, Pastor, I just throw things out there. Some people might get upset, but sometimes it's just the simple things of attending Bible study.
Mm.
And for men, and especially for men and husbands, because, again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I just want to encourage the men, attending the Bible study of your local fellowship, being there, receiving and getting that teaching, you know, and that's, I know we have, a lot of brothers have a lot of different schedules and things, but as you desire it, God will make a way. I personally believe that because I've been there and I struggle with, you know, different schedules and making commitments. But then, you know, once you know that if you see that that spiritual growth is important, the first step, I believe, is just in Bible study in your local ministry or finding a Bible study. What do you say, sir?
Yes, indeed. A lot of times people think, okay, I can grow on my own. And I'm not talking or taking away from you doing your own personal studying and all of that, because all of us do that. But the best way to learn is in a group setting with other people who are learning, because there you can ask questions. You can hear what other people are going through. You can hear personal testimonies. And in a group setting, it's also coupled with your own personal learning. Because a lot of times, if you learn in a vacuum, you might be telling yourself something that's wrong. So that corporate setting is good because you learn along with someone else. And when it comes to a disciple, there is a very specific definition of a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus, and I always like to make things easy for people by making things in rhyme or in pairs. So when it comes to a disciple of Jesus, it's a person who learns of Jesus, a person who loves the teachings of Jesus, and a person who lives the teachings of Jesus. There you have it right there, three L's together. But you have to do that. You just can't learn the teachings of Jesus and then live any kind of way you want to, because being a disciple means that his teachings affect your behavior. His teachings affect how you live. And as a husband, when we learn to be a disciple of Jesus, it affects our behavior even with our spouses. So spiritual discipleship is that important. And being a disciple is a call to be more like Jesus. And it's a call to submit ourselves to the lordship of Jesus. And let me give you this quick illustration. Some people are only fans, not followers. I consider myself a fan of the Baltimore Ravens. I have different jerseys that I wear. I watch their games. Every now and then when I can, I go out to a game. I'm a fan. But a follower is the one you see out in December with no shirt on, stomach painted purple. Those who have thrown everything into it. Jesus wants us to throw our whole being into being a follower of him. So some people are just fans. They're not followers.
Amen, amen. I like that. I like that illustration. And, you know, that's what it is in the things of Christ. And I want to encourage every brother that's listening, because let me say this. You know, we have Pastor Paul here and myself here. We don't want to get the pretense that we are somewhere and we want and we're talking down to you. What we're doing here, we want to encourage, because unless sometimes we have to be, you know, we have to be encouraged and be held accountable in the things that, and especially in the body of Christ. Are we seeking to mature? Because we are called to mature. Because you can't, again, you can't disciple. We're called to be disciples, but we're also called to make disciples, and we can't teach anything we don't know. We don't possess it in our spirit to be able to disciple someone else, because that's the way the church really grows, you know. And I think, so I just wanted to say that I want to encourage any brother that's listening here. If you got this link on your phone, or you listen again, if you're listening online, or if you got the link in an email, that to examine yourself. That's the thing I always want to bring to point here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. I just want to encourage you to examine yourself and where you are. You know you better than I know you or anybody else knows you, and where you are in Christ. And are you growing? Because Pastor said a lot, even. He said about learns the teachings of Jesus, because you have to know, you have to learn the teachings to confess that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior, and that you accept what Christ has done. But you have to learn of it. And so that's where the study comes in. And then you learn to love the teachings. That means you have a passion for the Word. You have a passion to understand more of the Word. I mean, we can go to the deep end, or the gospel is also simple enough for a child to understand. But you have a love for the teaching, where you love, where you're in the Word daily, or you on it. Well, I won't say daily. I don't like to say that. Are you consistently have a pattern of being in the Word of God in your life? And I think every man has to figure that out, because, you know, everybody says about daily and devotion, but that whatever works for you and however God leads you. So when you said about the love of the Word, that you have a desire to learn the Word, and Pastor, this is the biggie, that you said live the teachings of Jesus. That right there is, to me, I hear that as, now you have to submit to what you've learned. And
amen.
It's like, and I believe it's like anything else you learn. Because if you go to school and get your degree, if you're in the trade school, if you're learning all these things, and unless you apply them, they're useless. You could have a degree, you could have your certificate for, I don't know, HVAC, a carpenter, a plumber, electrician, but if you're not doing it, if you're not taking what you've learned and using it to help others and to benefit yourself, because then you have a job and an income and you're taking care of your family, we have to see the same thing when it comes to the spiritual realm and the things of God, that now are we living it out? And that's where the importance of spiritual growth is, because our life changing. The Bible says we have transformed minds. We have renewed minds. We are given a new heart. We have a new way of thinking. And again, this is where the Word and the Holy Spirit comes in. So we have to judge ourselves. I know, because I was not raised in the church. But I also understand that you have to grow wherever you are. And how long you've been in the church, and where are you? Are you still in the elementary things? Like you said, Paul talked about it. He talks about in Ephesians, I believe it was, about babes being tossed in to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Without spiritual growth, you have no discernment. And unfortunately, if we look around the body of Christ, even now in 2021, people are being deceived by so many, so many false teachers are teaching people so many things because they don't know the Word. And people use the Word and manipulate people and take them down paths that are wrong, because again, we are not in the Word and studying the Word. What do you say about that, sir? Being caught up in doctrine. That's one of the reasons that we have to be able to grow in the false doctrine as babes, and just being deceived, really, because we have no discernment, because we haven't spiritually grown. And also, when I say babes, we're not doing numbers. I don't care if you've been in the church 30 years, 15 years, or 30 days. Growth
right.
is growth. What do you say, sir?
I totally agree with you. And that goes back to what I said, that it doesn't matter the time frame, because we all grow at a different rate, different pace, and it takes different things to cause us to grow. But fundamental to all of the growth is the teachings of Jesus. You can't get the teachings of Jesus apart from the Word. Well, let me correct that. You can get those teachings, but it should be Word-based. And you hit it right on the head. We're going through a period right now that Jesus had predicted that about false teaching. And just because somebody says thee or thou art loved or something like that, use flowery language, it doesn't mean it's biblical. A lot of people win people over with their words, but look at the fruit. Look at where they're coming from. You can't say someone is a follower of Christ, but they have bad-tasting fruit or ugly fruit. So we always have to look at the fruit. And Jesus said that in the end times, very elect are going to be swayed over by false teaching. Because when you think about it, the Scripture says the devil even knows Scripture. So he can come and quote a few words. And we don't all have to be Bible scholars, but you should be able to say, something about that doesn't sound right. I'm going to look it up for myself. And I encourage every man, every woman, that your pastor is not going to deliberately steer you wrong, but check up on him. If he's saying something, you should have your word open. You should look at it for yourself. Don't just take something in. Have your word open during a service. Have your word when he's preaching or teaching, and follow along with your word. That's how you really learn.
Amen. Well, yeah, you're right, because spiritual maturity is also, that gives us the ability to distinguish between good and evil and discernment. I think it's the scripture I'm thinking of is Hebrews chapter 5, I think verse 14. It talks about being pruned and drawing a blank here. But it's about pruning, and it's about being able to distinguish between good and evil, and knowing that we sinning less, and we're doing, and our minds are really being transformed, and our heart attitude is changing. But that's where the study of the Word, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, and like you said before about the being in the company of other believers, because that to me is also a struggle that we have with brother men about folk who come and they talk about they don't like the organized religion, and that's why they don't go to church. And they said, I can study for myself. But like you, I'm glad what you said. You can be by yourself. You can convince yourself of anything.
Right.
Trust me. There's examples of the Bible in it, and there's examples out here in the culture. A man who doesn't listen to anyone else can convince himself of anything he's doing is correct. And sometimes that's called the flesh. It's called sin. It's called pride. It's called self-centeredness. It's called a whole lot of things. But I can convince myself of anything if I have no one to challenge me. And that's where, I won't say challenge. Let me use the word accountable. Because, every man, think about it. You could talk to somebody, and you could talk to them, and you know what they're saying don't make no sense and is wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
The same thing goes with the study and understanding of the Word. Because some people legitimately can read a word and misinterpret it or take it the wrong way. But then if we hold each other accountable, say, wait a minute, that's not what that means, brother. And then we can go and we can reason together. We don't argue in the Scripture. It's not like we're going after the Muslims or the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses. Amongst ourselves, we come and we reason the Word out so we have understanding. Because, every man hears something different. We've been married a couple years. I hear one thing one way, and my wife hears one thing another way. So we know how that is. Amen.
Right.
Let me ask you this. When you talk about the importance of us studying and being together, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. But what is God? Does God expect us to grow? That's the expectation. That's the other thing. God has an expectation of our lives. And what do you say to that, sir? I believe he does have expectation for every believer. What do you say to the important to recognize that God has a purpose and a plan for each of us?
Right. And you used the right word, expect. God has an expectation that all of us grow as a believer. He doesn't want to leave anyone out of his plan. And I'll stand by that, where he expects every single person to grow and mature and look more like Jesus. We have gotten it twisted. If God did take a nap, or if God did go to sleep, he doesn't wake up every morning and saying, I wonder what I can do for Joe today. I wonder how I can make Joe more rich today. I wonder how I can give Joe more abundance today. In God's mind is, how can I make Joe more like Jesus today? That's his purpose. He wants all of us to look like his number one son. He wants us to look like Jesus and act like Jesus. So that takes deliberate effort. Growth is possible in everybody, but it takes a deliberate effort. And let me say this and take it off the table right now. Since I are a pastor and I can say it, your pastor is not responsible for your spiritual growth. He's responsible for setting the atmosphere. He's responsible for maybe having learning materials there. But every person is responsible for their own spiritual growth. Your pastor
Amen.
Can't make you come to Bible study. Your pastor can't make you get into the Word. Even though we wish we could, we can only provide.
Amen.
Like I said, I are one, so I can say it. But we can only provide the atmosphere and the material and all of that good works. It's what I tell my staff all the time. As a preacher, a teacher, our only responsibility is to be a good chef. We have to have the good ingredients, the good food. We have to make sure everything is good. It's not spoiled. Put it on the table. We can't make people come and get it, come and eat it. So, yeah, God wants everybody to be a learner, and he wants everybody growing spiritually.
Amen, amen. You know, and I'm gonna shift a little bit, because now, you know, I want to encourage the brothers out there. You know, it's something I want to go back to when I first got saved. I got saved back in the 90s, and the thing that I don't think a lot of people get today, or maybe have not gotten, is the importance of having the proper tools to be able to study, you know, because, you know, there's some things. I mean, everyone starts, like you say, we all come to faith, and we start at the same, we start at different levels, and then we have different levels of growth. But there's certain tools that I think we need, you know, and with the technology today, a lot of folk are being robbed, and they're not being told the tools they may need, and therefore they're for their personal study. I mean, there's a whole slew of devotionals out there, which is, it depends. Again, it depends on the teaching. It depends on the perspective and where the philosophy, where the different devotions are coming from. But basically, I learned a long time ago, Pastor, and I want to get your opinion on this, because, you know, I was taught that you need a good study Bible. You needed commentary. I think back in the day, I'll go with Matthew Henry was a commentary that I was directed to, and a Bible dictionary that you could, a dictionary and a concordance. So when you go, you can get a better understanding of the scripture. Because one of the things that I really believe that hinders us in our spiritual growth and our discipleship is, sometimes we take scriptures and turn them into cliches or verses, become cliches that people just throw out there and just without the understanding, because it's like you say, it sounds good, but when you actually study, you know, you can get a deep understanding. But sometimes we turn verses in the Word of God into cliches that we hear
right.
over and over without a real understanding. But I just wanted you to talk about study Bible, concordance, and commentary. How important is that? And any recommendations also, Pastor?
Yeah. you nailed it right there, Dee. It just like no matter – you said earlier about trade. If you're into HVAC, you need the right HVAC tools. And if you're a plumber, you wouldn't use kitchen utensils. You would use plumbing tools. So you need the right tools to do the job. And those three are the basic, a good study Bible, a commentary, and a dictionary. I've heard people say, now this is going to be controversial. Warning, this is going to be controversial. I've heard
okay.
people say, I can't understand the King James Version with all those thees and thous and thou shan'ts and all of that. You don't have to read the King James. Whatever Bible works for you. Now, that I had to clarify that a little bit. There's some Bibles that are way out there. But get you
yes,
a
sir.
Bible that you can read, that you can understand. There are Bibles that, like the ESV, the English Standard Version, it speak to you more in English-type language than the King James Version. If you can understand that and you look at it and say, oh, that's what that scripture means, then that's the Bible you get. You get the Bible that you can understand. So for all men, all women, I just took that off the table that you can't understand the Bible. And if you say, well, I don't have time to read, you said it earlier. You can get the Bible on MP3, MP4. You can listen to it in your car. We have more Bibles than any other generation and that we don't open up. And some
Amen.
Places like China and other places, even now, they pass around several pages from one Bible, and different families look at that and read it. And we have Bibles in our cars, in our bathroom, in our living room that we don't even open. So, yeah, get yourself a good study Bible. Get yourself a good commentary. Commentary sometimes explain what's in the scripture. My thought process when I'm putting together teaching or preaching, I always go to the Word of God first, and I write down whatever I see in the scripture, whatever God is telling me from the scripture. Then secondarily, I go to commentaries, and I might get explanation, and then I go to the dictionary to see how to pronounce words. So, yeah, I even use all three of those tools right now. And also try to get yourself a devotional plan. There's many devotional plans out there. Tony Evans, one of my favorite teachers, he has the Tony Evans Study Bible. And he has devotionals online, not devotionals, Bible studies online for free. There's some you have to pay for, the in-depth one, but he has other Bible studies out there for free. So there's a lot of free Bible studies out there and devotionals that you can get. And I like how you said earlier, you kind of took away that word daily, because that scares a lot of people. Where am I going to get the time from to do this daily? But you should, so instead of daily, we're going to use the word regularly. You should be doing
Amen.
Your studying on a regular basis, because the Bible, that's why it's still one of the best sellers. It has a wealth of knowledge in it. And think about it. Why shouldn't it? It's from God. He knows
Amen.
Everything. He sees everything. So he has a word for everything that you go through. A lot of people tell me, well, he doesn't mention crack in the Bible. No, he doesn't, but he talks about the principle of taking things into our body that's detriment for us. So the principles are there in the Bible.
Amen.
So, yeah, you're right. You should have tools in your toolbox to help you to grow to be a disciple.
Amen. You know, let me say, a big commercial break right here. This is Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're here tonight talking about call to discipleship and spiritual growth to encourage the brethren out there to seek where you are spiritually, where you are as a disciple, and where you need to grow, where you need to make adjustments, changes, and who are you discipling around you? Are you reaching others? Are you helping others to grow in Christ? Again, as the body of Christ, as being part of the church, you know, locally, I know we're all part of Church Universal, but locally in the church and locally in your family, are you studying the word and helping others grow? And for husbands and fathers, we have a responsibility to our children and to our wives to help and maintain and see where they are spiritually in their growth. Because, again, as babes, you know, a babe needs to be fed until a babe can learn to feed itself, you know, and that's what we're called to do. And for husbands and wives, you know, you may be at different levels when you start out because, you know, I know the example of brothers out there, your wife went to church first and she got all spiritual on you. And then you when you finally decided to go and get into the faith, you know, you may feel that she's spiritually more mature than you. That's fine. But now that you're a man of faith and she's a woman of faith, now this is where the humility comes in, and then you catch up with your spouse, because even with you know, I won't put brothers out there, but you know, at some point you'll grow together, you'll come along side by side, and then you'll start to move forward, because there is, like I say, there is more of God that you can go with together, as you can teach one another, because remember, you are one flesh. So that controversy, because I know brothers have said in men's meetings about them being uncomfortable because their wife been in the church 4 or 5 years before them, and it seemed like she knows so much. But again, you don't know what you know until you know what the word says, because again, she may be deceived. But remember, Eve was deceived, but I'll leave that right there, because this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, because I'm going to get some phone calls already. But but again, as husbands and fathers, we are called to set the temperature in our homes, and when it comes to spiritual growth, to ensure everyone is growing together. And when we go back to babes, because you mentioned, there's so much out here, like you said, this is this generation, or there's so much good quality teaching and resources, like you said, there's a lot of different translations of the Bible. Because I've learned for myself, I'll share this, because the King James, you know, it was a struggle, but if you go to another translation and compare the verses together, then you can see what it's saying. Because after a while, you know, this is the supernatural and the Holy Spirit. You'll start to see what the King James is saying, especially in the New Testament. Because as you work through it and as you start to get used to the words and recognize, then you can read the King James. And also, like you said, the audio version. I remember when the audio Bible was on cassette tapes and CDs. Now you can download it and get it free in your phone and everything else, because that's what we are. And let me say, and also I want to say, when we say about these tools, you know, because everybody, even in church, everyone has a tablet, a phone, cell phone. Because apparently folk don't use paper Bibles anymore, Pastor. I don't understand. Right. I can't write notes, you know, but whatever your technology is. But make sure that we sit in sermons. The average sermon now is an hour, hour and a half. But these, as your pastor has labored over this, as God has given him the word, how can you sit there and not take notes, take the scriptures, and then go back and meditate on that thing? Because that's part of our spiritual growth, again. Because, Pastor, I like what you said. You tell your staff, all they do, they're cooking it and they're playing it and they're delivering it for you to eat. Now, will you eat it? And then that's where we have a responsibility as members, as the body of Christ. Are you taking notes? Are you taking the notes? Are you writing down the scripture points? All the things that your pastor labored over to deliver to you on that Sunday service, what are you doing with it the rest of the week? And that's right there. Forget the devotional, forget everything else. Because my pastor told me this a long time ago. The sermon you get on Sunday, that's where you start. Because you always can call a pastor and say, Pastor, what were you talking about? Like you said, you can ask questions. Because, again, if that Sunday worship service and that sermon That's God. That's God sowing into your life. So are you taking that basic thing and starting to feed on it so you can grow? And that will help you grow and build up a desire in the pursuit and stir up your heart to understand more once you understand what the passage has taught you. You know, if we get past, because that's something I always said, you know, even when in men's ministry when I started, you know, we got to get to the place that we're just not punching our spiritual time clock on Sundays and thinking we're saved and thinking we're satisfied, we're pleasing God, and everybody's happy. They saw me on church, and God should praise me because I came on Sunday, and I came 10 Sundays in a row. Oh, I got perfect attendance for the whole year on Sunday. But I'm sorry. That's why I don't have many friends, Pastor. No.
No, that's an excellent point right there, because a lot of times people think I've done my obligation. I've gone to church. I've sat there and I patiently listened to the pastor. But that's only the start. This is going to sound like a funny illustration. Cars that are well built, like Mercedes. I can sit in my garage all I want and say I'm a Mercedes. You know what? I'm not going to turn into a Mercedes. I have to go out and get one. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you are a disciple. You are a church goer. And there's a difference between somebody who goes to church and somebody who is the church. And somebody who is the church goes wherever you are. And a disciple of Jesus, and I love how you said a disciple is always teaching someone else. And you teach people from the point of view of where you are, because we all have something that we can learn from each other. There's things that I've learned from the teenagers or the young adults in my church when they have said something. So we all can learn something because we're always growing as disciples. And another thing, I love what you said. You get 5 stars on this. When you said take notes when you're in a sermon, you're listening to a sermon, take notes. And because of technology now, like you said, we don't have the paper Bible. Some people have their telephone or a tablet. And then they just sit there and just with their hands folded or crossed. Even me, when I'm listening to one of my staff members teaching, or we have a guest preacher here, I'm taking notes. I'm writing notes because I need to be fed too. And there was this one instance. It was a few years ago. This little kid who was 7 years old, he came up to me after service. He had taken 4 pages of handwritten notes. Oh, my gosh, I was so surprised, and I'm not going to use the word proud, but I was proud of him that this 7-year-old had listened that intently, that he had 4 pages of notes. So that meant he was not just there in the service. He was actively listening to what was being said. And I don't care what church you go to, or I should say most churches, your pastor takes time before the Lord in prayer and studying and reflection and then prayer again and receiving the word from God. So I can guarantee you, if it's a half an hour service, a half an hour sermon, or even an hour sermon, he has spent days before the Lord, and he has to condense everything down into a half an hour or maybe an hour for you to get. So, yeah. You need to be actively listening.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's the word right there, actively listening. And again, I say this because this is what we tell our kids when they go to school. This is what we tell our high schoolers. We tell our college kids, our elementary school kids. You know, your kids come home from school. Do you have homework, what you learned today? In the spiritual realm, it's the same thing. What did you learn last Sunday? What was the sermon? What was the scripture? You know, something. But again, every man is going to be held accountable. And I pray that what we're saying tonight would encourage the brothers out there to begin. Today is the day of redemption. Today is the day to change course. And today is the day to do different and to do better. And I just wanted to be able to encourage the brothers out there. Where were you going to move from here? This is what? This is March of 2021. What are you going to do different than what you did last year? I mean, with the pandemic, a lot of churches closed down. We've been doing Zooms and conference calls and all those things, which there's really no excuse there. But moving forward, where are we going to
grow? Before you go on, you had,
yes,
you had said
ahead,
about the men actively growing. And so this is a question that I wanted to throw out there for the men. How can you know if you're growing spiritually? And I'll ask the question and I'll answer it. It's because you don't act the same like you used to. In any particular area, you just name it, you don't act the same like you used to. If you used to fly off the handle, if you're growing spiritually, you may not fly off the handle as quick as you used to. That's spiritual growth right there. It might be where, okay, I'm not going to say anything back. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to hold my tongue. I'm just going to walk away. You've just grown spiritually because you don't act the way that you used to act. So that's how you can tell if you're growing spiritually. And don't judge yourself. Don't judge yourself by anybody else. Don't hold your standard up against anybody else. Jesus is our standard.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. You know, you're right. And then that's one of the things that's the other thing we're going to talk about, discipleship and spiritual growth. You know, if you want to measure yourself by the Word of God, measure yourself by the fruit of the Spirit. And like you said, and in some of the temple things, are you different? Do you think different? Do you handle the stresses of life differently because you are a man of God? And like I say, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, you know, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godliness, faithfulness, all self-control. Do you control yourself a lot better than you did last year? How about that? You know,
right.
And these are the things where we see that we're growing differently, that we are surrendering to God. And then also, you know, do we let what goes on in the culture stress us out? Because that's part of it too. I see a lot of Christians, you know, people who have platforms, and then others just, you know, the rank and file, what I call it. We let the things that the culture do, sometimes we just go way off of, do we not understand this is the end times, and this is, and sinners will do what sinners are going to do? And I think some of the spiritual growth is we have to understand where we are, and that everybody doesn't live, is not even trying to live by the standard we are. So we shouldn't let their sin upset us to the point now that we, you know, we're arguing and we all this because of what they're doing. They're doing what they're doing. Now, if we're going to minister to them, we're going to either disciple them or evangelize to them, then we have a kicking off point. But we don't internalize other people's sin.
Amen.
That's what you have to be careful about. You know, because they're going to do, you know, I was in a conversation recently, you know, this is what Noah was doing. This is that before the flood, just imagine, it was much worse than what's going on right now before the flood. So this is where we are. If we have the expectation of Christ coming back, it's going to get worse until God figures out enough is enough. And I think we have to, if we go back and look at Scripture, this is what was going on before the flood. You know,
right.
It was the Tower of Babel all the way to the flood. You know, I got my chronology mixed up. But before the flood, God was patient until he wasn't patient anymore. We're in that same place here. But we got more help than Noah had.
Right. And Jesus,
we need to be out
and
sharing and encouraging and helping each other grow and helping and letting the church grow and sharing the gospel and making disciples of Jesus Christ, letting them know the love of Christ and also the wrath of God that is coming. That's part of evangelism to me.
Right.
Amen.
And Jesus himself even said, just like in the days of Noah, and then he said people, and what he was really saying, just like in the days of Noah, people were going about their everyday life. They weren't paying attention. And all of a sudden, the flood came. And just like in the days of Noah, We're going about doing our business. And the saddest thing that I see is people who are not believers and followers of Jesus Christ, they can't tell people who are, because we act just like everybody else. And it's a thing now that people don't want to I'm going to say this, and you can get all the telephone calls, Deacon. Everybody is coming out of the closet, and Christians are going in the closet because people are saying, you're not being tolerant. You're being this and you're being that. Everybody say what they want to say except for Christians and believers. But there's a scripture that says, iron sharpens iron. So that means that we can, no matter what level you're at, you can sharpen another man. You can sharpen another person. If the only scripture you know is Jesus wept, and by the way, for those who are listening, that's the shortest scripture in the Bible. If that's the only scripture you know that Jesus wept, and you can explain why he wept and the reasoning behind why he wept, guess what? That's scripture knowledge right there.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Because that's where your commentary comes in. That's where your study Bible comes in. Because, yes, Jesus wept. But understand why he wept. Because Jesus had a call on his life, and he knew, and he saw, and he witnessed it. And that's what we need to pay attention to, what's going on in the culture, and have that desire to, how bad do I love people? Do I love them enough to tell them about the gospel? You know, am I concerned enough? Do I have enough compassion to compel them to come and understand that I've done my part? Let me say this, too, to the brothers out there. You just have to do the part that God has called. Because, again, something I always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, there is a soul out there that's only going to hear the gospel from you, not from Pastor Powell, not from, he mentioned Tony Evans. There's a lot of good teachers and pastors and people out there, but there's a soul that's only going to hear and receive the gospel from you because they've known you and they've seen the transformation in your life, and they'll ask you, what must I do to be saved? And every man, we have to be prepared to answer that question. It may come in a different format. It may not come in those exact words, but are you prepared to answer that question? Because that person may only be going to receive it from you. And this is why we must grow spiritually. We must be disciples of Christ, and we must be prepared to disciple someone else. And again, and let me say, and I want to put this out there too, because, you know, a lot of churches put together discipleship programs and a lot of, study series, but sometimes it doesn't take 6 weeks, 8 weeks, or a 3 week course. Sometimes you can disciple someone sufficiently for their redemption within 5 or 10 minutes. Again, right. If you can tell them why Jesus wept. And let me say this, John 3:16, everybody knows it, but does everybody understand it? as believers, can we take John 3:16, which even a sinner man knows, but now can we elaborate that to the, where they can come to faith and understand what that really means and what Jesus and why Jesus came?
Right.
His life,
you said something about
and his resurrection. Yes, go ahead, Pastor. Sorry.
You said something about being a witness, and you may be the only Bible that somebody sees, and we want to make sure they see the right thing. You may not be doing anything perfect. None of us are. But they need to see that you're growing and you're trying to do the right thing. And people will come and say, Joe, I know how you were 10 years ago. What's the change in you? And then that's when you can tell them. A witness is somebody who only testifies to what they have seen and what they have heard. They don't make up stuff. And you can look at it this way. I like to use this illustration. I guess you can tell I love illustration. It's like car buying. There's the salesman and then there's the buyer. People see me as a pastor because I've gone to school and I study. They say, oh, you are a salesman. You know how to talk about Jesus. You know how to sell me on Jesus. But somebody who is a buyer, they can tell you about the product. Oh, I love this car. This is why I love this car. So from a buyer mentality, you can tell somebody, I love Jesus because he did this for me. I used to chase women. I used to drink alcohol. I used to get drunk all the time. But as a buyer, you can tell them, this is what he did for me. And nobody can dispute your testimony. They might argue with you about the Bible and what something says in the Bible, but they can't dispute your testimony and what you said Jesus did for you.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, Pastor, that's absolutely right. And that's where we are in our growth, because we wanna be able to tell our testimony that we grew from where we were when we started, that we were a sinner, and now where we are in it. And again, this is an ongoing life process. You know, and for every brother out there that's listening, just examine yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, you brush your teeth, shaving or whatever, and ask yourself, who are you in Christ? Why has God saved you? Are you growing in your faith? Where are you? Are you different than you used to be? You know, and where are you? How can God use you? You know, are you submitting? Are you teachable? Is your prayer, check your prayer life? There's a lot that we can do as men of God, that we could just know where we are so God can use us. Because again, it's not, it's God, there's a life. Again, there's a soul, there's a life that can be changed and made different because of each of us. And we have to first understand that God has a purpose for us all, no matter who we are, no matter where we came from. So I just wanted to encourage the brothers out there. I hope something was said tonight that will encourage you to grow in spiritual, that will encourage you to become a disciple of Christ, that will encourage you to disciple someone else in the things of God, that they too will be saved. And then you never know, the person you disciple and they grow and then they go out and disciple, who will be reached by them. Remember, we all have our favorite preachers and pastors, and remember, they all had to hear the gospel for the first time. From someone. God may have used them for a church, to be a good teacher, a writer, a preacher, but they all have received the gospel that we all have heard. Someone had to plant that seed. So we never know. Like, nobody knows who reached Tony Evans. Who knows that story? Who reached Billy Graham? Who reached, Jake's and all these people we see, but someone had to minister the gospel to them. Someone had to disciple them. And you never know who that person was, because God sent that person, because they were faithful to the Great Commission. They were faithful to the Great Commission, and now God used the person that they shared. But what if they would have never would? And then if we look at history of all the men who were great orators and in the culture. What if someone? I like to use this example, because you know, Pastor, people don't know, but me and you, we're black people, we're black men. Who do we know that Malcolm X's father was a preacher? But we all know what Malcolm X gave his life to. But he was a preacher. But could there have been someone else, even with Malcolm? Malcolm went left from where he was raised, that someone else could have reached in the same way Elijah Muhammad reached him. It could have been a Christian. How God could have used Malcolm X or Malcolm Little, because he'd have kept his real name, but that's a whole other question. But just imagine, that's where we have to be when we're called to be disciples, we're called to make disciples. Who can we reach that God's going to use until he comes back? That's the way we have to really look at it. And then, again, as husbands and fathers, we have the responsibility of our homes. Because every ministry starts in the home. Pastor, first of all, let me say this. I appreciate you for taking time out and sharing your wisdom and your insights. I want to give you the last word and closing word, and then close us out in prayer. And, again, I appreciate you. And I pray that something was said to encourage the brothers out there. Again, you're going to get this. If you receive this link on your phone, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to it online there. We have a Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. We post devotionals. We post upcoming men's events. Churches are coming back. We got men's groups doing Zoom meetings. Churches are going back into their buildings. So if you have an event coming up, let us know on Facebook, on Twitter, at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. We send out devotionals, words of encouragement, scriptures, just to encourage the brothers as we continue to be men of God who lead in the homes, lead in the community, and lead in the church. Pastor Paul, again, thank you very much. You have the last word, and you close us out in prayer.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you again for having me on your program. And the last word that I want to leave with all the men is that God can use whatever you have gone through. Never count yourself out. There's something that you have gone through that can reach another man, another person, and only you can do that. For instance, if you've been an alcoholic and Jesus saved you, you are the one who can talk to another alcoholic about what God has done for you. So God can always use whatever you've gone through. And there's a scripture that says, some planted, some watered, but it's God who gets the increase. So with that, I'll close us in prayer. Thank you, O Lord, for blessing us on this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come on Deacon Farr's show and just to be able to speak to the brothers or whoever's listening about you. Lord, you want all of us to be disciples. You want all of us to grow. You want all of us to mature. You want every single one of us to be more like Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that out of this broadcast on this evening, somebody heard something that may have tickling their ear and got into their heart, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for those who listened intentionally, those who took notes, and we especially thank you for those who are going to act on the word. Now, oh Lord, as we close, we thank you for our brother Deacon Farr. Bless what he is doing. Bless those he is reaching. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And we get on one accord. Your presence fills the temple. Everything we need and more. Your manifested glory. It is wonderful to see. I seek your face here in this place. Oh, come.